Friday night, and that can only mean one thing. It is time for your Smack Page review for June 24th. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you for joining me here on a Friday night. No Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns on the show tonight. I'm so glad I put Brock in the thumbnail for the stream tonight. That's always nice. But Brock is not on the Money in the Bank card next weekend. Of course, he is in the main event of SummerSlam. We already have the main event of SummerSlam all locked up. So I guess they didn't see fit to have him on the show tonight, nor was Roman Reigns. However, we do have Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. They are in the Money in the Bank match next Saturday. Now, you might be asking yourself, I thought Drew McIntyre and Sheamus were already in the Money in the Bank match. And you would be correct. They were. And then on the show tonight, they were removed. And they had a fight for their spot because they have time to kill. And they got to figure out some way to do it. And so we ended up actually with a pretty good main event on SmackDown. That was about the only really good thing about the show tonight. Not a very exciting episode of SmackDown. The qualifying matches for the women on the SmackDown side, they have been just terrible. The quality of the men's matches has been noticeably better. You know, we had the Money in the Bank qualifier with Seth Rollins and AJ Styles on Raw a few weeks ago. We had the match tonight, even, between Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura, which, you know, they gave them about 10 minutes. I thought they had a pretty, you know, pretty good match. On the women's side, though, it's just been 1 2-minute match and 3-minute match after another, and it just has not been very good. Also, tonight was the official demise of Ricochet. So if anybody was still wondering what the future held for Ricochet on the show, the de facto number two babyface, although now that Brock is back, I guess you could say the number three babyface on the show, he was pretty much finished off tonight in his match with Gunther. But the biggest battle of the night was actually on Rampage. And it was the battle between Roosh and his dress shirt, which unfortunately he was not able to remove from his wrist. He looked like The Rock out there. Many years ago on Raw, The Rock had the same thing happen to him. He just could not get that thing off. Anyway, let's get into this SmackDown show here. I'm going to try to zip through this as quickly as possible. I'm going to give you the express review, or I'm going to try to anyway. Drew McIntyre was out first to talk about Brock Lesnar walking back into SmackDown and immediately being gifted a title match with Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. It is funny how that works, right? Brock just shows up, and automatically there's a last man standing match announced for the championship. And he said that's fine. He does things the Brock way. He says he'll do things the hard way by winning Money in the Bank and then cashing in on one of them at SummerSlam. Now, I would hardly consider cashing in your Money in the Bank contract on a downed opponent the hard way of winning a championship. But that is how Drew McIntyre described it here. Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch, they made their entrance. Sheamus pointed out that, you know, he has won the Money in the Bank contract before. And in fact, the person he cashed in on to become the champion was Roman Reigns, which is true. That goes all the way back to Survivor Series in 2015. 7 years, almost 7 years. Hard to believe. Sheamus has been around for a while. I mean, so has McIntyre. You can go back to 2009, right? The beginning of the Chosen One. But Sheamus has been around forever, and I still feel like he doesn't get the full respect and appreciation that he deserves. And the guy is wrestling with spinal stenosis in his neck. So his days are numbered. I don't know how many more years he's got left in his body, but yeah, I would make those comments during the pandemic shows. I would say Sheamus and Bayley are like the two names that I always thought of, who I thought were the real MVPs. And maybe Asuka as well. They were giving Asuka a lot of television time. They liked the fact that she would make a lot of noise. But even still, all the years he's been there, I still feel like Sheamus doesn't get the full respect that he deserves. So, Paul Heyman interrupted, and he had Adam Pearce with him. Heyman and Reigns, or Heyman said Reigns, would retain his championship at SummerSlam, but he said they have a problem. Heyman said that Reigns would be left vulnerable to a cash-in by somebody like McIntyre or Sheamus. And Adam Pearce recalled his previous ruling, where he had determined that both Drew McIntyre and Sheamus belong in the Money in the Bank match, even though they went to a double disqualification in their qualifying match. He had made the decision that he was going to put both men in Money in the Bank. So he mentioned that. And he said that after some influence by a certain someone, a certain Penguin who was standing next to him, he said that McIntyre and Sheamus, in fact, would not be part of the Money in the Bank match after all. He has had his decision overruled. His decision was overruled. But he said there is a path forward for both of them to qualify. He said they would need to put their issues aside and defeat the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos. And if they could beat the Usos in the main event tonight, then both men would get into Money in the Bank. Michael Cole called the Usos the greatest tag team in the world. And Pat McAfee one-upped him. And Pat McAfee said that they are the greatest tag team of all time. I like Pat McAfee, and we'll talk about him later, too. They're not even the greatest tag team in the history of this company. So I thought that was pretty funny. Hey, Drew Johnson is joining us. Look at this. I feel like I haven't seen Drew in a while. Dropping a $50 super chat here to get us going here tonight. I've had a terrible day, so that put a smile on my face. Thank you, Drew. Thank you very much. He says, party hard, Solomonster. HBK is Brett's daddy. Now, there won't be any partying for Solomonster for a while. So after the break, Cole clarified. He said that the Usos titles were not on the line tonight in the main event. He also said that the Usos are not trying to qualify for Money in the Bank. Their only role in this main event tonight was to prevent Drew and Sheamus from getting into the match. So I'm glad he clarified that. Really, I mean, think about it. It didn't really make much sense for Adam Pearce to put them in the match in the first place if they both, I mean, they didn't lose, but they didn't win. And he just put them in there. Like, if I were in the Money in the Bank match, I'd be kind of pissed. So, you know, look, I can't fault them for trying to at least make them work for it. But it is ridiculous that when this show started tonight, we had these two guys in the Money in the Bank match. And then, of course, they got bounced. And by the time the show was over, they were back in the match that they were in to begin with. That's what you call time filler on this show. A show where there is no Roman Reigns and there is no Brock Lesnar. And much like AEW, they've been besieged by injuries. In fact, an injury affected one of the Money in the Bank qualifying matches tonight. And so this is what you end up with. You end up with a scenario like the one that played out here on the show tonight. Sami Zayn against Shinsuke Nakamura, Money in the Bank qualifying match. They had their usual good match. Zayn used a great Michinoku driver for a near fall. Looked like a spike pile driver. And then they showed the replay, and you could see where he tucked his head. For the finish, Zayn rolled out of the ring. Nakamura went out after him, and he hit the Kinshasa on the floor. He rolled Zayn back in the ring. He did not want to take the win by countout, and that proved to be his undoing. Because as soon as Nakamura got back in the ring, he got caught with a Huluva kick, and Sami Zayn pinned him to qualify for the men's Money in the Bank match. I don't think they have the balls to do it, especially if they're going to close the pay-per-view, which I assume they will, with that men's Money in the Bank match. But Sami Zayn winning the briefcase and then all the drama around what he's going to do. Is he going to try to cash in on Roman Reigns? You know, he's been trying to be an honorary member of the Bloodline now for months or weeks. I think that could be a fun story. And look, even if he doesn't, him being in the match more so than Nakamura makes it a little less predictable, because there was no way that Shinsuke Nakamura was going to win Money in the Bank. Sami Zayn, I don't think they'll have the balls to do it, but there's at least a chance that he could walk out with the briefcase. Right, Seth Rollins is probably the favorite right now, but Sami Zayn, I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, that would be a fun story to follow. We had the New Day. They were out next, along with Jinder Mahal and Shanky, the skyscraping Shanky. I have to say it the right way. The skyscraping Shanky. Shout out to Rizzo in the chat, channel member for 15 months. He's a Sound Off legend. Very cool. Thank you, Rizzo. So Xavier Woods said that they beat them clean as soap last week. And Kofi Kingston asked, who wants to see this match again? Woods said that the New Day doesn't wrestle in rematch after rematch after rematch. And I laughed. They're self-aware. WWE is self-aware that all they do are rematches on TV with these guys. The thing is, you can be self-aware and you can poke fun at yourself, but it's not like they're going to actually change that. So we're going to continue to get rematch after rematch after rematch on TV. How many matches did we end up getting with the New Day and Sheamus and Ridge and Butch? I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, like I said, it's one thing to acknowledge it, to poke fun at it, but it's not like they're actually going to change their ways. It's a way of life for these people, the way they write their TV shows. So Kingston said they want to see something, though. He asked the crowd if they wanted to see a dancing Shanky, and the crowd cheered. Woods played the trombone, Shanky danced. Jinder got very frustrated. He started yelling at Shanky, and Shanky pushed Mahal. Jinder ducked out of the ring at that point, and Kofi wanted them to play some music so that we could get the dancing Shanky. So Shanky and the New Day started dancing in the ring. All of a sudden, they get interrupted by these horns. We hear these horns. We hear one horn, then we hear a second horn, then we hear a third horn, and they sounded familiar to me. But I will tell you that for a few moments there, I had no idea. I couldn't place it. I couldn't place whose theme music this was. Because these two guys have been so just buried at the bottom of this roster and turned into non-factors on this roster. I haven't cared about the Viking Raiders in probably since they debuted. I just don't give a shit. So it took me a while to figure out, okay, I forgot about them. So it was signaling the arrival of the Viking Raiders. They attack from behind. So you have the New Day and Shanky, right? They're looking at the aisleway. We got some graphics up on the screen for them. They hit some pyro. But just the way that they were positioned, you knew that they were going to attack from behind. And that's exactly what they did. They attacked them from behind. Outside of some black eyeliner, they looked exactly the same. They did put some makeup around their eyes to try to make themselves look a little bit different. The Raiders hit a pair of double team moves on New Day. You know, I realized something as I'm looking at the makeup of this SmackDown roster. And I realized that we got a lot of heel teams. We got a lot of heels on this show. SmackDown is a very heel heavy show. You know, we have the Usos, we have Los Lotharios, we have the Vikings, and among others as well that we have on this show. And not a lot of people to really root for. Got the New Day. What else really is there, right? You can throw Butch and Ridge Holland and Sheamus in there, right? They've been heels as well on TV. So they had to come up with something for these guys to do. These guys being New Day, because they could not go back to Sheamus and Ridge Holland and Butch. And so they have tried to rehab the Viking Raiders. We know it's not going to last. It gives the New Day something to do, but you and I both know full well that within a month or two, they're going to be right back to where they were before. So this week, they're taking them seriously. Next week, they might give it a month. Give it a month. Maybe they'll wrestle at SummerSlam. After that, they'll probably have a whole bunch of matches. After that, the Viking Raiders, they'll end up right back where they were before. You and I both know that it's true. In the back, Sonya Deville told Adam Pearce that she has been back on SmackDown now for weeks. She's been back for weeks, and yet she has not had a single match on this show. And Michael Cole, by the way, he even admitted later on in the show, he works on SmackDown, right? He's paid to know this sort of thing. Even Michael Cole said, I had no idea that Sonya Deville was back on SmackDown. That doesn't speak very well to the state of SmackDown, when Michael Cole can't even tell you who's on the roster and who's not. So Adam Pearce said that if she wants, she could compete tonight in a handicap match against Lacey Evans and Raquel Rodriguez. So the babyfaces had the person advantage in this match, which is always weird. It's like when they would do the War Games matches in NXT sometimes, and they would give the babyfaces the advantage. Never really made a whole lot of sense to me. So they sent Shayna Baszler and Xia Li out there with Sonya to at least give the impression that, you know, she had some backup, she had some help. Shayna Baszler distracted Rodriguez and Deville gave Evans a chop block. Sonya was briefly in control. Lacey, though, fought back. And Raquel got the hot tag, ran wild on Sonya. Raquel went for the Tejana bomb. She went for the Tejana bomb. Baszler, though, caused another distraction. Evans made the blind tag, hit the women's right for the win. After the match, the heels jumped Evans and Rodriguez, and Deville jumped on Rodriguez's back. She still managed, though, to slam Xia Li. Shayna Baszler bailed at that point. You know, pretty much a nothing segment here. It's a way to get Sonya Deville back on TV. This next segment was kind of interesting. This next segment was kind of interesting here. So Ronda Rousey was out next. Or so we were meant to believe that Ronda Rousey was coming out next. They played her music. Instead, it was Natalya. Natalya came out. She was cosplaying as Ronda Rousey. She was pushing a baby carriage to the ring. She nailed the look. I will say that. She did a hell of a job on the look. But her promo. Her promo was not wooden and monotone enough to convince me that she was trying to be Ronda Rousey. That's my only criticism. Her promo had too much life and too much energy to it to be authentic. So she said she mentioned that, well, actually, she was talking about the sharpshooter. She was talking about how the sharpshooter is better than the armbar, which we've heard her talk about on TV before. So she put her move over Ronda's. Natty said that she almost made Rousey submit. Sharpshooter is the more deadly move. She said that she should hand the SmackDown Women's Championship over to Natty and retire and grab the diaper bag and push her stroller and leave while she can. And instead of calling her the baddest woman on the planet, Natty called her the saddest woman on the planet. So that brought out the real Ronda Rousey, and she came down to the ring. She said that Natalya can dress up like her, but they couldn't be any more different. Rousey said that she's not going to put off having kids for 10 years to wrestle without time off. She also said that she's not going to modify her body. She's not going to modify her body to meet the beauty standards of the roster. I just thought, holy shit, she went scorched earth on her with that comment. She went scorched earth on her with that comment. Holy crap. Rousey said that the closest Natalya will get to being a main eventer is dressing up like her. Ronda went to pull Natty's jacket off. And Natty grabs the stroller, and she throws it at her. Ronda no-sells it and tries to grab it. Now they're fighting over the stroller. And Natty shoves the stroller at her, knocks her down, and then leaves the ring. This was ridiculous here. But, again, I thought Natty, as far as the cosplay, she looked the part. But a little too much life in her promo to be the real Ronda Rousey. Look, they got to try to get something going here, right? This is the match at Money in the Bank. The two women's matches at Money in the Bank are throwaway matches this year. So they're trying to get something going with these two. You know, kudos to Natty for, you know, letting them go ahead and make it personal the way that she did in this promo. I mean, again, she went scorched earth with that comment. We'll see if Natty has a comeback of her own next week, but again, there's only so much you could do to get people excited for this. It's Natty and Ronda. Nobody honestly believes that Natty is going to beat Ronda Rousey. It's not going to happen. No more so than Carmella is going to beat Bianca Belair. We had Ricochet against Gunther. Intercontinental Championship rematch. This was complete destruction, as it should have been. We know Ricochet is done. May as well use him to get Walter over as a monster. Ricochet tried to fight back. Didn't work. Didn't work out too well for Ricochet. Ricochet went for a springboard, and Gunther caught him in midair, hit a German suplex. Ricochet landed on his feet. Gunther, though, obliterated him, turned him inside out with a lariat. And he hit the shotgun dropkick. Ricochet sold it great. I will say, Ricochet is the perfect opponent to sell his offense. Walter threw that shotgun dropkick, and Ricochet just fucking flew. He flew backwards into the corner. Took a hell of a bump. And Gunther hit the powerbomb, got the stack pin for the win. This went exactly the way that it should have. I would not have changed anything about this. This is not about Ricochet. Ricochet is dead. Ricochet is done. He had his push. He had his little title reign. He had a few moments on TV. And now his time is over. That is the end of Ricochet. This is not about Ricochet. This is about Walter and trying to get him over as the next big thing on this roster. In the back, Kayla Braxton interviewed Paul Heyman and wondered if he was doing Brock Lesnar a favor. Sami Zayn interrupted. He claimed that Kayla had twisted his words in an earlier segment they had in the back. He promised that he would not cash in on Roman Reigns, but he said that he would cash in on Brock Lesnar. And when he said that, all of a sudden, Paul Heyman, he didn't like that comment very much. We had Shotzi Blackheart against Tamina in a Money in the Bank, qualifying match. It was supposed to be Aaliyah taking on Shotzi, but Pat McAfee said that Aaliyah was injured. Another injury. Another fucking injury. These companies this month cannot catch a break. It has been injury after injury. I don't have no idea how Aaliyah would have gotten injured. Is she wrestling on the house shows? I mean, I have no idea. Shotzi jumped off the middle rope at one point, and Tamina rocked her with a super kick for a near fall. Shotzi, though, got her foot on the bottom rope. The referee, Jason Ayers, he fucked up, and he counted three. Immediately waved off the three. And you know he fucked up because they didn't even bother to show a replay of it. They just tried to quickly move on. So he was not supposed to hit the three. He did, and basically just ignored it, and the match went on. But the match didn't go on for that much longer. Shotzi hit her finish, which was a weak-looking DDT, and picked up the win. She calls it Never Wake Up, and I was pissed because she stole my finishing move. That's what I call my finishing move every Monday night. Never Wake Up. That's the new name of her DDT. So Shotzi is in Money in the Bank. Max Dupree, the former LA Knight, was shown in the back talking to somebody whose face we couldn't see. They were being blocked by a door. Presumably it was his new client or clients for Maximum Male Models. They've been delaying this and dragging this out. But finally tonight, we were gonna find out who his clients were. Look at Drew Johnson. Dropping another $50 super chat. This guy's having a hell of a Friday night. Thank you, Drew. So it looked like we were finally going to figure out, you know, who these clients were of Max Dupree's. They had the spotlight in the ring, the music played, and then nobody came out. They cut to the back, and again, we saw Max with Adam Pearce. Last time he had issues with the music or the lighting. I think it was the lighting. This week, his beef was with their dressing room not being up to the specified standards. And he said that his models would not debut due to the circumstances and said that they would be ready next week. And so again, they are dragging this shit out. They are going to continue to drag this shit out until finally we get Mace and Mansoor, who are probably going to end up being the two clients. And by the way, when he unveils his first two clients, we are going to have two more heels. Just what this show needs. More heels. We're going to have two more heels on this show. Pat McAfee. I mentioned his name a little while ago. Pat McAfee stood up on the announce desk and he threw it to a recap of what happened with Happy Corbin last week. And McAfee challenged Baron Corbin to a match at SummerSlam. So much for that being a one-off. I mean, when I saw that segment, I didn't get the sense that they were going to be building to something. I thought they just used McAfee as a way to get the crowd to chant and to laugh after that last laugh match and laugh Corbin away. But in fact, and I don't know if injuries have something to do with this, but they're looking for attractions for SummerSlam. And so they're going back to Pat McAfee. And I can't hate on this because Pat McAfee is great. You know, in the ring, Pat McAfee has actually had some pretty damn good matches going back to his NXT days. His WrestleMania match was one of the more entertaining matches on either night. And here's the other thing about Pat McAfee. When this segment was over, Pat McAfee proved to me he is the best promo in this entire company. Pat McAfee is the best promo in WWE. So if they want to rely on Pat to really sell his match at SummerSlam and try to get people interested in SummerSlam, I probably would do the same thing. It's kind of sad that they have to keep going back to him like this. He's their announcer. Yeah, for a mid-card match with Baron Corbin, it could be just what they need to get me interested in a Baron Corbin match. It's a mid-card match at SummerSlam. I don't mind it. And Pat McAfee is the best promo in this company. I don't know what that says about the rest of the company, but he is the best promo in this company. We had Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. Excuse me. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus against the Usos. Street Profits were on commentary. The Street Profits are going to challenge the Usos for their titles at Money in the Bank. Ridge Holland and Butch were ejected during the final break. This was a very good match. I enjoyed this main event. The crowd was into it. I thought that this was the best thing on the entire show. This might have been the only good thing on the entire show. Sami Zayn made an appearance. He tried to help the Usos at one point. He was setting up for a Huluva kick on someone on the outside. When he went for it, Angelo Dawkins stood up and body checked him. So Angelo Dawkins stopped him from providing the assist. Usos were bickering with the Street Profits until Drew McIntyre did a flip dive out onto them. McIntyre counted down for his finisher. He went to go give Jimmy the Claymore. Jimmy, though, caught him with a super kick. And McIntyre followed that up with the Claymore kick. He tried again. He got it. And he scored the pin for his team. So again, good match. To the surprise of no one, the Usos lose again. While McIntyre and Sheamus qualify for a match that they were already in. Until they got pulled. And now we're right back to where we were before the night started. So, like I said, the main event was very good. The rest of the show was okay. I mean, it was nothing to get excited about. They've had worse SmackDowns. I've seen worse SmackDown episodes in recent months. This was not among the worst, but this was also not one of the more exciting shows that they have put on. So, that's my that's my synopsis for SmackDown. As I continue to die here. Let's move on to Rampage. Because Rampage opened hot. Rampage opened hot with Andrade El Idolo against Rey Fénix. Two men who were not allowed on the Forbidden Door card this Sunday. Neither of these men are on the pay-per-view on Sunday. You'll have to excuse me. I'm fucking dying here. So I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best to get through the rest of this here. Before I'm sweating bullets here. I before I went live, I have 102.3 fever. So I'm doing my best. We're gonna get through this. We're gonna get through this Rampage show. Rampage opened with Andrade El Idolo against Rey Fénix. We were told by Tony Khan that this was not a match to be missed. This was a match that you were going to want to see, and I can see why. This match was fantastic. This was a great match. I'm not going to go through the play-by-play of all of it. I would tell you all to go seek it out and make sure you watch it. But this was a great match here. Andrade tripped up Fénix on a rope walk, and he went for the double knees to Fénix, who was out on the apron. He was propped up against the ring post. And Andrade came in for the double knees. Rey Fénix moved out of the way, and he smashed his knees right into the post. I mean, that looked sick. He just collided with the post. Fénix came off the top with a double stomp to Andrade's back on the floor. Fénix hit a top rope Spanish fly for a near fall, but Jose the assistant, he placed Andrade's foot on the rope. And while Aubrey Edwards was checking on Fénix, Jose snuck the iPad to Andrade. Aubrey, though, caught Andrade with the tablet, so she stopped him from using it. Fénix sent Andrade to the floor. He followed that up with a tope. Back in the ring, Jose and Alex Abrahantes, they got into a nerd fight. We don't need to see Alex getting into fights on TV. Jose's in pretty good shape. I don't know what his background is, but Jose's in pretty good shape. Alex is a different story. So all of a sudden, all of this is going on, right? And Aubrey Edwards' attention is diverted. We see that in the aisleway, I had completely forgotten about him. You know, he made that cameo at Double or Nothing, and nothing has been said about him since. So I had totally forgotten the segment that had aired on the pay-per-view that showed that Roosh was going to be aligned with Andrade. I completely forgot about Roosh. So all of a sudden we look, and standing behind Rey Fénix on the ramp in the aisle is Roosh. And Roosh kicks him low, gives him a low blow, sends him back into the ring. Andrade finishes him off with a hammerlock DDT. And this is unfortunately where Roosh had the fight of his life. He was fighting a losing battle. And he was fighting a losing battle against his dress shirt. He took most of the shirt off, but then the shirt got caught on his wrist, and he could not get this fucking thing off to save his life. No matter what he did, he could not get this shirt off. So he just left it on. Because what are you going to do? At that point, there's nothing you can do. But Roosh and Andrade put on their Ingobernables t-shirts, and Roosh ripped off Rey Fénix's mask. Penta ran in to make the save. Definitely track this match down. This was a very, very good match. We don't get to see Andrade enough, but when we do see him in matches like this, he proves why he has the reputation that he has as a worker. We just don't get to see it very often on TV, but he's very good. Eddie Kingston was in the back delivering a promo. He told everybody to buy and enjoy the Forbidden Door. He plugged his six-man tag on the pay-per-view and talked about the Blood and Guts match next week. He said he won't be satisfied until he tastes Chris Jericho's blood. He wants to know what a coward's blood tastes like. And Jericho, who was on commentary, when they went back to the announcers, Jericho was disgusted by this. In a backstage segment, Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee announced their opponents for Forbidden Door would be Yoshinobu Kanemaru and El Desperado. And they were still teasing that they were not quite on the same page. So I think it might be a pre-show match, but I'm not sure. But for the people wondering if Swerve and Keith Lee were going to be on the card, they are on the card. We had Serena Deeb and the Ring of Honor Women's Champion, Mercedes Martinez. They were partners tonight. They took on Sierra and Lainey Luck. Those were their opponents. The story with Serena and Mercedes is that one is trying to outdo the other. I have no idea. Yes, see, that's the perfect super chat on screen. Big Show shaking his head. I have no idea where this story came from. Maybe it developed on Dark. I don't fucking watch Dark. So this just came out of nowhere. Apparently now there's a storyline with Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez, who was the Ring of Honor Women's Champion, who we basically have not seen since she won that title. You following me now? So Deeb had Lainey Luck tied up in a leg lock, and Martinez chokeslammed Sierra onto Luck. And each woman locked one of their opponents in their submission hold, got a double tap out. This belonged on Dark. This did not belong on TV. Now, this dovetails into the next segment here that I'm going to talk about. We went to a pre-tape with Tully Blanchard talking about Tully Blanchard Enterprises, okay? We have not seen Tully Blanchard and his men since the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor back in April, okay? Beginning of April. We are now at the end of June, almost July. We have not seen or heard from these men since then. And all of a sudden, we have a segment on TV talking about Tully Blanchard Enterprises and running down the different members of his team. And you know that you've got people watching this going, what the hell is this? Tully Blanchard, last time we saw him, he was with FTR. All of a sudden, he's got new guys. Where's he been? Brian Cage is there. Where's Brian Cage been? Who are these other two guys? I mean, this just came out of nowhere. They just threw it on TV. Without any explanation or setup at all. Then it gets even better. Because then we had a segment in the back. Lexi Nair was interviewing the Ring of Honor world champion Jonathan Gresham, which is great. Because some people were suggesting that Bryan Danielson's mystery replacement opponent on Sunday against Zack Sabre Jr. might be Jonathan Gresham. And I did not want it to be Jonathan Gresham. So the fact that he was on TV here tells me it ain't going to be Jonathan Gresham. It could only be one man. And if you watch my stream last night, we did predictions. You know exactly who I think it should be and who I think it is going to be on Sunday at Forbidden Door. But we had Gresham and Lee Moriarty. They're being interviewed. and she congratulated Moriarty on his wins on Dark and Elevation. He said that it was time to cash in those wins for a shot at Gresham's championship. Tully Blanchard showed up. He said that his men were more deserving. Gresham proposed that he and Moriarty face members of Tully Blanchard Enterprises, which Blanchard accepted. Where the fuck did this come from? Where did this come from? They just decided, well, we have these Ring of Honor people. We barely use them. So let's just throw them on Rampage in a bunch of random segments. If this isn't a sign that Tony Khan desperately needs a Ring of Honor television show, then I don't know what is. Don't just throw it on the show without any explanation and expect that everybody is going to be all up on what's going on. We had Hook against the DKC from the New Japan LA Dojo. Hook won quickly with the Red Rum. DKC is very small. That's my takeaway from this. The DKC is, he's very noticeably small. But like Walter destroying Ricochet on SmackDown, this was the squash that it needed to be. Main event was Cash Wheeler of FTR taking on Jeff Cobb of the United Empire. Usually it's Dax Harwood who we get to see in singles matches. So tonight we got Cash. And I thought these two went out there, they had a very good match. It was not as good as the opener, but I still thought they had a very good match. Cobb went for the tour of the islands late in the match. Wheeler, though, turned it into a cradle for a near fall. He also stuffed the Dr. Bomb attempt by Cobb, but a second tour of the islands connected, and Jeff Cobb pinned Dax, or pinned Cash Wheeler, for the win. So then, Harwood, here comes Great O'Con. He's coming down to celebrate with his partner, right? They're the IWGP Tag Team Champions. Here comes Great O'Con. But coming up behind him is Dax Harwood. And Harwood attacks Great O'Con. All of a sudden, we hear Best Friends theme music, and now Best Friends and United Empire are brawling. Orange Cassidy gives Will Ospreay a backdrop on the ramp. Eddie Kingston runs out to attack Chris Jericho at the announce desk, and he takes a pen. He's trying to jam a pen into his head. They brawl into the crowd. Jericho makes his way back to ringside. Eddie Kingston comes right back after him. Eddie Kingston, he was like a horror movie villain. Every time Chris Jericho thought he got away, there was Eddie Kingston trying to draw blood. And so these guys were brawling all over the place. I actually thought this brawl was better than the one we got at the end of Dynamite on Wednesday. I thought this was the better of the two brawls. Everybody was just pure chaos here at the end of this show. Harwood in the ring hit a pile driver to Kyle Fletcher of Aussie Open. Jericho ended up back on headset again. Eddie Kingston attacked him. So the fact that Wheeler took the loss here gives me hope that FTR might be walking out, as they should, with the IWGP Tag Team titles on Sunday. We shall see. We shall see how that works out. Let's take a look at the Twitter polls, see what you guys thought of these two shows. SmackDown, 31.5% thumbs up, 68.5% thumbs down. Sounds about right to me. Just not a very exciting show. It just, there's nothing exciting about SmackDown. There's nothing at all that is interesting or engaging about the show. Thank you, Drew. Another $50 drop. I appreciate that. Drew Johnson is, he's the king. He's the king of the Super Chats tonight. Let's take a look at the Rampage poll. 79% thumbs up, about 20.7% thumbs down. Yeah, you know, again, the Ring of Honor stuff to me was just a total waste. But you can't hate on that opening match. An excellent opener and a very good main event. The stuff in the middle was very missable, very forgettable.
Moo.
It's the moo. Look at this. It is the moo. And I just gave Drew credit for being the king of the Super Chat. Look at that. JM comes in with the $102 Super Chat. What? I got to read this now. I have to read this and see what he said in his message here. Says, not only is Pat McAfee the best promo in WWE, He is the best babyface in the entire company, which means that if he were to ever wrestle full time, Vince would turn him heel. And here's a little something to help get that temp under 102.3. And so that's where the $102.30 comes from. Thank you, JM. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. So let's get into all the other super chats too, because I want to make sure I tackle all the other ones that came in. We got Shaquille Oatmeal. He was the one who got us started tonight. One of my favorite super chatters, Shaquille Oatmeal. Thoughts on taking the mask off of the dinosaur and making him Christian's muscle, a Tomko 2.0. Well, things didn't work out very well for Tyson Tomko. I wouldn't make that comparison, but Christian and Tomko, when they were together, though, they were a good pairing. I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate that if that's the direction they wanted to go and get that dinosaur mask off, turn him heel. Why not? I would have no issue with that. DHV Smoking Trees. Jericho Appreciation Society now has 6 members, so who sits out at Blood and Guts? So you know, it is 6-on-6. So the answer is nobody. Nobody sits out at Blood and Guts. It is going to be 6-on-6. Joseph Brooks, do you think Hook is ready for some gold or not yet? I would give it a little more time. EJ Slemp, just bought my tickets for Sunday's show. I'm excited, but I'm actually more upset I won't see Naito wrestle than Punk and Danielson. Shinakuma, thank you for the $4. Drew Johnson, again, with that first $50 Super Chat drop. Thank you very much. Dr. Scorpio, technically that tag match was a championship contenders match without being an actual contenders match in a way. Don't get me started on that. Those championship contenders matches. Rizzo. Oh dear God, my super chat was supposed to say you are the best, not dad. Yeah, I was going to say that was a little weird when you called me dad a little earlier. I thought maybe you knew something I didn't. So, Aussie of Steel. It's hard to believe Sami Zayn's been a heel since Hell in a Cell 2017. That's a long freaking time. Yes, it is. Armchair Critic. Rock segments outdrew SC. Stone Cold in... Are there 2 songs? Ah, you're right. Good catch. I had 2 songs playing. Good catch. It's all fixed. All fixed. Armchair Critic. Rock segments outdrew Stone Cold in 99. And he was more profitable in 2K than Stone Cold in 98. Also has WrestleMania and Raw and SmackDown records, so why is Stone Cold considered a bigger star? Because at his peak, there was nobody better. There was nobody bigger in the wrestling business at his peak than Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's as simple as that. But he and Rock, yeah, they were pretty much neck and neck there for a while. But at his peak, I mean, I feel like unless you actually lived through that era and you went to some of those Attitude Era Raws, you just don't fully appreciate how white hot he was at that time. Joseph Brooks, do you think Rock kind of gets looked at like MJF, meaning people forget that MJF can wrestle? He's not just a good promo. Do you think Rock is the same? All we talk about are his mic skills and not his wrestling. No, I mean, Rock was fine. I mean, Rock, you know, he was no great shakes, but I mean, Rock was fine in the ring. I think people, you know, understood that he could go out there and have good matches. But, it, you know, with him, as with MJF, it wasn't so much about the matches. It was their personality. It was their promos. That's really what got them over as big stars. Groovy Goose, hope you get feeling better, champ. Thanks for the stream. Thank you, Groovy Goose. DHV, Shayna once had 5 eliminations in a chamber match. How sad. Drew Johnson, thank you again for that second 50. Anti-M-Bishop 07, hope you feel better, Solid Monster. It's weird seeing people getting in the middle of hot ass summer. Well, this ain't the common cold. I got popped for COVID earlier, so that's what this is. It sucks, but yeah, this is not a cold. Alex Jimenez, I'm getting over an upper respiratory infection, but today is a wonderful day. Enjoy some sleep, my friend. Rizzo, Solo leaves town for a day and comes back near death. Curse the person who got you sick. I'm with a couple of people on here. Rest up next time this happens. We need you healthy, not for a review. Senor PA, thank you very much. Clapstick 77, here's $5 for some cough drops, and thank you for all that you do. And Drew Johnson again with the 50. Thank you very much. JM with the 102.30. And Dan Haval with the $2. Paul and Sammy Skits can be on the level with Angle and Austin. I don't know about that. Angle and Austin, the summer of 01, doing the comedy stuff with Vince. You're not going to top that. So, yeah, again, I apologize for not being at my best here tonight. I thought about just not doing the stream at all, but I said if we can get it done, then let's get it done. But, yeah, no, I found out earlier, I took 2 tests just to verify, so I've avoided it for 2.5 years, but it finally caught up to me, and, I have COVID, and unfortunately, it's not asymptomatic. I'm pretty fucking sick, so, we'll see what happens. I'm pissed because I'm gonna miss the House of Glory show tomorrow. I was really looking forward to being there. We got a stacked card. I do think that you guys should still check it out on Fight TV. It is going to be live on Fight TV. I'm sure JD and Dr. Hillary P. Wisdom and, of course, all the talent, they're going to kill it, as they always do, tomorrow night. And, but I will not be there. And as far as the podcast on Sunday, you know, look, my plan is to do a podcast. And, of course, we have the Forbidden Door on Sunday night. But this is all new to me, so I have no idea how I'm going to feel. All I know is that I've gone from having the worst headache known to man and having a low-grade fever to having a fever that a couple of hours ago spiked to where I was shaking uncontrollably. I was hoping that I wouldn't have the shakes when I went live because then I wouldn't be able to do this. But I was shaking like a leaf. I thought I was going to crack my teeth. So it's very strange. It's a very strange virus. It affects different people in different ways. But, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm doing my best. So anyway, I'm going to skip Be the Booker tonight. I think we're just going to wrap things up here. I am, as I said, hopeful that episode 762, I'll be able to record that on Sunday. And then I'll be able to go live on Sunday night. But if that changes for any reason, I will keep you guys posted on Twitter. Be well, stay safe, and stay healthy. As best you can, stay healthy, because this fucking sucks. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Take care, guys.